He's our voice of reason in the medical world. Dr. Fred Brown from Griffin Health talks to Melissa in the morning on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
Good morning, Dr. Brown. Welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm well. How are you, Melissa?
I'm fine. I'm doing just fine. We will get into COVID, obviously. We have to. But before we do that...
It won't go away.
Oh, it just won't leave us. It just will not. But before we go into COVID, I did want to touch on this because I'm getting a little deja vu feeling this morning, Dr. Brown, if I'm being honest. We heard about a rare, potentially deadly tick-borne disease has been reported in Connecticut. A man in Windsor County had been confirmed to have contracted, I always say it wrong, is it Powassan? Powassan virus?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So could you talk to people about that?
Sure, absolutely. So it is a rare and it is unusual, but it is carried by ticks. It is a virus. So ticks carry viruses, they carry bacteria, and they actually carry parasites. So they are there. As I said, you have to have the sort of the right person, right time. But we do see an occasional infection with Powassan virus. It's unfortunately this is sort of what we see between ticks and mosquitoes. They're always carrying, unfortunately, something.
Where does Powassan virus come from? Like, where does that originate from?
It's actually the Powassan Valley. So it actually comes from the Midwest.
Oh, okay.
So that's where it was initially discovered. But it is seen throughout the country, and I believe it's throughout the world.
Oh, interesting. So then why do we call it rare? Why is it rare?
Well, you know what? It's one, it has to have the right host. So is it the right tick that actually has it? And then it has to infect, and I don't know, right is probably not the best word to use, but the right person. So you could get exposed to this virus, and you can expose to any virus, but you can get exposed to the virus. It doesn't mean that the virus will actually enter your body and end up causing an infection. That's actually not the way it works. So between the two, between actually having the right tick that's carrying the virus, the right amount of virus that's actually injected into a human, and then the human with the immune deficiencies, and again, this is a vague term, there's nothing necessarily specific that will actually allow them to get sick.
Okay, so essentially, when we say it's rare, I mean, is that because it's underdetected?
It's rare because it doesn't occur very often.
Okay.
Basically because of all those factors that we just discussed.
Right.
Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, all the ticks carry Powassan virus. That's not true. It could be a few. It's always a little tricky to get sort of all the ticks and get a few calculations of exactly how many ticks carry the virus. We do know that it carries it. We just don't know we don't know in any season how many tick actually carry it. We do know that if there are increased amount of ticks, then the likelihood that someone will get it, you know, is a little bit higher.
Okay. We're chatting this morning with Dr. Brown, and I want to understand a little bit more about Powassan virus. As I mentioned, I think last year there was one or two cases, if that.
Correct.
And that was the first time I had really heard of this. In my understanding, Dr. Brown, if I remember correctly, this attacks your nervous system, doesn't it? If the stars align, not in a good way, and you do get this, it attacks your nervous system, right?
It does. It actually causes some pretty significant illness when it gets into the right person. And I said, since it's so rare, it's sort of tricky to say, but yes, it can cause an encephalitis. So an encephalitis is actually a fancy way of saying brain infection.
Oh, wow.
And so it really infects. So you've probably heard of meningitis.
Yes.
So meningitis can be infected, but really it is actually, so it actually just goes, instead of going just on the meninges, the sac that covers the brain, it actually goes into the brain itself.
Oh my gosh.
And then it causes this infection, you know, confusion, loss of coordination, difficulty speaking, and even seizures can occur. And the people who get out of it, and again, a rare disorder, doesn't occur often, but you know, 1 out of 10 people who do get it, and again, people rarely get it, but if they do get it, 1 out of 10 can die.
That's unbelievable. Here's my, obviously, you know, use insect repellent, wear white when you go outside, wear long sleeves, you know, all of that. So we know how to prevent getting, you know, this tick illness. But if you got it, you know, do you have signs of it early enough? Again, I don't want to freak people out. As Dr. Brown said, this is very rare. And even if you did get it, the stars would have to literally align perfectly for you to have this horrific, possibly deadly reaction. So I just want to preface that again.
Yeah. So it, again, very rare. It does occur. And I think, you know, when you're talking to an infectious disease doc, we could talk about all these rare and unusual things that do occur. So the majority of the people who are infected with the virus do not have symptoms.
Okay.
And not only do they not have symptoms, but it comes in and then it goes. That's sort of what we're looking. So many people, if you're going to get it, you may not have any symptoms at all, and that'll be that. So again, remember, those are sort of the things. Very similar to what we talked about when West Nile came around. West Nile is similar in that aspect that, you know, a lot of people will actually get West Nile, won't even have symptoms. They'll get it and it'll go away. If you do get symptoms, you know, it can be a week to a month after an infection. Again, it's actually tricky to diagnose. Fevers, headache, vomiting, and weakness are sort of the vague symptoms that you can get.
Okay.
What would happen is that those symptoms wouldn't resolve. And that's when you would seek medical attention, or they would potentially worsen and become severe. And that's when it would go into the brain.
So is there a way, Dr. Brown, at this point that you'd be able to reverse that if it got to a point where, and I know, again, this is probably a very small percentage of patients that would be dealt with this, but like, is there a way to reverse it or to get rid of it?
You always like to ask that question. That make me sound
sorry.
Negative.
No.
So the answer is, Melissa, no. There is
no,
not.
No, there's not. Okay.
There's no antiviral that's out there, and that's okay. I'm like doom and gloom on a Thursday here.
No, I don't mean to do it. I don't mean to. I'm sorry.
It actually is. Once you get to that severe, it's what the term we use in medicine is supportive therapy.
Got it.
So we would do everything we can to make sure that you have the best outcome. But there's no treatment for it. So you wouldn't have, there's no antiviral, there's no medication that's there. The problem is, so the difference between this and COVID, at least from a virus standpoint, is because a lot of people actually end up getting sick from COVID, we have a lot of data that say what does and does not work. When you have a rare virus like Powassan, you don't know.
Yeah.
Because the people who get it, you're not, it's not something you're inducing in a lab.
Right.
You're not going to do that. So you really don't know. You're not also going to be actively focused on that as an antiviral, because there's so many other things that are there that we're going to be focusing on
exactly.
That we know we can treat. So what we do is we treat this as supportive as possible. Again, the majority of people who do get this will end up not having symptoms at all and it'll go away. The way we detect that is we can actually do blood samples from people. And if we do blood samples from people, we can see if they have antibodies to it. It means that they've had the infection but really didn't express it. And there's some complex data that demonstrates it. So, again, the rare infection is that the fact that – and what we say is infection. The rare infection is that someone actually gets the infection, gets the right tick, the right person gets the right tick, and then they get sick from it. That is actually how this infection is detected, seen, and then has potential bad outcomes. But we do need to be careful. There's going to be, I mean, listen, we haven't spent a lot of time trying to treat our lawns and avoid, get rid of the ticks. Get rid of the mosquitoes.
Right.
So
exactly. It may seem doom and gloom, which I don't mean to do, but it's just one of those things to say, hey, you know, like if you're thinking, oh, it won't be me, just take the extra time to check, you know, do the tick checks and make sure you're wearing the long sleeves and maybe cut the lawn. You know, I'm just saying.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And I think preventative therapy, preventative care of sort of just being aware is important. And it's very interesting because both ticks and mosquitoes, you know, are not necessarily harmless to humans.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, mosquitoes alone have shaped history.
Mm-hmm. So. Yes, they have. Quick thought before we go to COVID, Dr. Brown, as we chat about ticks. Is it possible for a tick to carry more than one disease? Like, is it possible for a tick to carry Powassan as well as Lyme?
Yes, it is. So a tick can actually carry we actually see patients that get co, and very rarely we see triple infections, but we do definitely see patients that get co-infections from ticks. Lyme disease. So the three major things that we see with ticks in Connecticut is Lyme disease. Everybody sort of knows what Lyme disease is. The second one is something called babesiosis. And the third one is something called anaplasmosis, and sometimes people confuse that with ehrlichiosis. So those are the three that actually carry. Each one of them is different. For example, Lyme disease is a bacteria. Babesia is actually a parasite, very similar looking to malaria. And Ehrlichia is actually a special type of bacteria.
Lovely. Okay.
Isn't that great? Yeah,
great.
Ticks are kind of nasty. And, you know, we know about the deer tick, but we do also know that the wood tick or dog tick also carries, will carry bacteria. Will not carry Lyme disease, but will carry other infections.
Great. Love that. Okay. Awesome. Well, it's cool. It's fine. I'm not allowed to hate in my family, so I highly dislike ticks. I highly dislike them, and that's all I'll say about that.
That's why it's so important to keep an eye out for ticks, because each one of them can cause, you know, pretty significant infections.
Love that. Okay, excellent.
it's like doom and gloom Thursday.
It's delightful. I love it.
Guess what? Everybody can go outside now.
Yeah,
they're not
right?
gonna get COVID, but they're going to get bit by a tick and have an infection.
Good God. Oh, my gosh.
So the good news is at those three infections that I told you about, Melissa, all three are treatable.
Okay. That's good news.
Antiparasitics and antibiotics do treat all three of them.
Well, thank God it's National Prayer Day. I'm going to pray that nobody else gets bit by a tick today. That's what I'm going to pray for.
Because
it's a gorgeous day out, so I hope nobody gets bit.
It is.
So here's my question about COVID before I let you go, Dr. Brown. So at the end of last week's chat with you, we were talking about antibody tests, and I got this very interesting phone call. I'm not sure what you can make of it, and maybe it's something we dive more into next week. But this man went and got an antibody test. Because we had said, you know, if you want to get an antibody test before you have to go get a booster, might be a good idea. Because he never had COVID, the test showed him he had no antibodies. However, he is vaccinated. He's fully vaccinated. And I was confused by that because I thought the antibody tests would show you have antibodies in your system either from COVID or from being vaccinated. Is that not true?
That is true. So that gentleman needs to get boosted.
But I guess when he went back and he had talked to Quest, they said that these tests specifically look at COVID antibodies and that there is a specific test out there that you have to ask for that just looks for generic antibodies. And this was news to me. I had never heard of this, that there were two different antibody tests.
I'm not exactly sure, you know, what they're referring to at this point. What happens with the what happens when you unless they're sneaking something past us. What happens when you get the vaccine is you get a protein, you get a spike protein code, and that so you develop a spike protein, which is the spike protein of the virus. You can detect if it's different or it's not when it's in the body, but it is the spike protein that you produce. That is what is typically detected on the antibody test. So there are specific tests that can detect, you know, if you had the virus, if you had the vaccine or had the virus, but they are pretty complex. So I'm surprised the generic one should detect both.
Interesting. Yeah, I was kind of taken aback by that as well. And like I said, I know I've used a lot of.
You're right. I mean, I definitely. I'm not exactly sure where that is because honestly, that's a very specific test, and that's not something that you typically get in a, you know, a general commercial lab like Quest. So, not exactly sure. I would be more concerned, and I think you might want to bring that data to his physician.
Okay.
I would be more concerned that he hasn't developed antibodies to the vaccine.
Interesting.
Or they waned to a non-detectable level.
Okay. Interesting. Well, Dr. Brown, I appreciate it. Like I said, I know we could talk more about COVID and everything next week. Unfortunately, I really wanted to talk about tick bites today, so I appreciate you
Absolutely.
Taking the time to do that.
Happy to talk about, you know, infectious diseases.
Yes, I know. You're so good at it. And hopefully, you know, next week, hopefully I don't bring all the doom and gloom. I do appreciate you.
Absolutely not a problem. And again, I think everybody's okay. They're going to be okay.
Everything's okay. And also,
it's just
knowing. That's just it. We just like to have knowledge on this show. You know,
that's
it's
right.
not trying to bring your day
Absolutely.
Down.
Listen, Absolutely.
Go have tacos. Go have some tequila. Cinco de Mayo.
Right.
It's going to be okay.
Happy Cinco de Mayo.
Hey, you too, my friend. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Absolutely.
Thanks, Dr. Brown.